Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Radio Show. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And later in our show, we have a special guest, a young lady who's going to give us a useful perspective about the system of punishment that we inflict, believing that we're making our children better. Well, are we really, or are we just inflicting emotional pain? Well, there's a different way of looking at child rearing. There's a different way of looking at shaping character. And we want to share that with you as we prepare for the release of our new book, Spare the Rod, Love the Child. And perhaps it flies in the face of some of the old school concepts when it comes to how you really should treat your children when they make errors in judgment. So we're going to take a quick break and connect to our co-host, Kareem Hamid, for this day as we ask the question, does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? And we will be right back in just a moment. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com slash the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Clear.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Assalamu alaikum, Naima.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of God be with you all. Yes. So now we truly wish to be transformative in the way we raise this next generation of children.
I have a new book that will be coming out shortly entitled Spare the Rod, Love the Child. And it has been in the works for a number of years now as a result of my observation of the way our children are often handled, because we have these incorrect beliefs that they are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and I know that is a very common belief system that we hold, but it's time for us to grow out of that misunderstanding. Parents believing sometimes they have to beat the devil out of a child or beat them into submission, and we know the slave history of beating a child so that you break their spirit so that they wouldn't get worse punishment from a slave owner. But all of that has to change now, because what we're doing is just creating generation after generation after generation of wounded souls that have such low self-esteem that they can't love others because they can't love themselves. So we're going to talk about that today, the different philosophies that comes with greater understanding when you realize the child that comes through you isn't being bad or disrespectful or disobedient. They are here to learn and create, and we're here to help them in that process. But we can't help them if we're still holding on to old concepts. The vision of the creator of the universe is some angry old man that's ready to throw you into a lake of fire if you make a mistake. That's poor parenting, and it's what we have projected onto the creator that's really part of us. We want to make God in our image instead of us being in God's image, which is, as our sister Mama D says, loving souls into shape. And so we have to learn how to do that, which means letting go of such negative beliefs about our children. Later on in the show, we are going to be joined by a young lady who has agreed to share her story, LaTanya Hilson, who's a young woman experiencing the system of punishment as it's meted out by our justice system. But it was for an act that she really felt was an act of kindness toward a friend. And there is another way that could have been handled, but of course we'll talk about that as she comes on in the 7:30 hour. But, you know, Brother Kareem, one of the things I wanted to deal with before our guest comes on is our beliefs as parents. And when we raise our children, when we first start inflicting emotional and physical pain on them, believing that we're doing the right thing, we're either saying things that are hurtful, thinking that if I call you bad, then you're going to correct yourself, or we're doing physically painful things like we're hitting them if they do something we don't like, and we think they're going to not do the thing we don't like in order to avoid pain. That's been the concept of parenting, and we keep thinking that works. But if it worked, then we would have better people than what we have. Instead, we have people that are angry and hurtful toward others. So, Brother Kareem, I'm going to ask you this question. What is your earliest memory of an act of punishment by either of your parents, and how did it make you feel? What's your earliest memory? How far back can you go?
Oh, boy, what a wonderful question. I can go way back in my lifetime. As far as I can remember, I would guess to say that I can remember would probably be around the age of four or five. As I've shared with you and the listening audience, that instilled fear within me, you know. It was fear. It was fear and a lack of confidence. You know, it's one thing to love someone, but sometimes we translate fear into love. I feared my father. That's flat foot. That's the truth. I feared him. And I felt, you know, how can I make him love me? You know, there's always the desire in the child to be loved, to be nurtured and loved and shown appreciation. And fear is the opposite of that. You know, fear is the opposite of that. My father, as I stated, he was known to me in my early years. He was the belt, you know. And he came from out of a culture whereby if you did something wrong, you received a physical punishment for that. That's from out of the slave environment that we were in. If you did something wrong, the slave owner would whip you, grown men and grown women. So yes, that is all that they knew, that if you got on the wrong side of the slaveholder, that you would be whipped. I mean whipped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we knew, and we adopted that same behavior when it came to each other, not only our children, domestic violence, each other. We were shown a model, and that was if someone does something wrong, you whip them. You physically assault them. So that was our acculturation, and we only followed what was modeled for us. And so when our children got out of line or whatever, all we knew was to whip them. That is what was shown to us. That is what was done to us, to whip them. I have read narratives of the indigenous people here in this country, and they were very shocked when they came in contact with Europeans and saw them whipping their children. That was not their way, and it really shocked to see them whipping their children. So this whipping thing, this comes from out of the closest thing I can associate that with is European behavior, European way of dealing with someone that you're dissatisfied with. You know, they had the rack where they would lay someone on a contraption and they would be pulled in two opposite directions. It was a lot of forms of torture, yeah, of capital punishment. And then those that came here through this country, the least among them, the least among the Europeans came here, and that is what was done to them. That is what they saw. That is what they believed was a way of correction. Now, the fact that they had a construction called a pillory. It was two boards with a hinge on one end of it and a lock on the other, with a hole just enough to where your neck would fit in and your hand,
yes,
your wrist. And you would stand there, and anybody that came by could throw garbage in your face or whatever. It was usually in a public square, a public place, to exact punishment on that person and to humiliate them. Humiliation does not bring about correction. To be humiliated, that does not bring about correct behavior. To humiliate one, to shame them, and to exact pain on them. That hurt people. People that exist under pain become pain givers, you know. It's a vicious cycle. And so I came up with in a time in this country whereby most parents, especially from the African-American experience, that's all we knew, because we acted out what was done to us and what was displayed by the slave owner to whip someone, even grown men, to have a man drug out of his house and in the front yard of his house, tie him to a post, and his children, his wife, his children, and the whole community see this slave owner whipping him. So that was embedded in our psyche. That was embedded in our behavior. And as a consequence, we followed that same behavior and caused a lot of damage to ourselves and each other in following that pattern. So I remember, as far back as I can remember, I'm only guessing, I would say 4 or 5, you know. But my father definitely believed he believed in corporal punishment until there was a change came over him. And unfortunately, I was grown by then. But,
oh wow!
Yeah.
So what do you think?
He changed that behavior.
Well, what do you think changed him?
I would say what changed him was, I'm only guessing, but I believe what changed him was kind of a repentance. Yeah, he repented having done that. Matter of fact, he expressed to us, we were adults, but there were still young children at home. And he expressed to us that he knew that he made a lot of mistakes. And he asked if we would forgive him, you know. And, of course, we did, you know. We did, and the loving side of him really expressed itself, being understanding and tolerance. I would complain to him about one of my siblings, and he would say, well, wait a minute, you know, he is your brother, and he would always come up with an excuse for him. And I would say, yeah, but daddy, and he would, and one advice that he gave me that stuck with me, he would quote the Bible. He said, in all of your getting, Michael, get you understanding. In all of your getting, get ye understanding. So he became much more of a loving father to us, and a lot of caring too. He repented for his past behaviors. He truly did, but we can only carry out what we come in contact with. We can only exemplify the example that is placed before us, and praise be to Almighty God, that period has changed to a large degree now, So that was my experience. And not only me, others, all of us children knew that your parents were with you. Oh, I'm going to tell Daddy, you are going to get a whipping. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell Mama, you are going to get a whipping. And they would do that. Yeah, they would exact physical assault, physically assault.
Assault is what it is.
Our children.
Oh. But as you say that.
Yes, yeah.
And
you sound real distant, Naima. Are you speaking directly into the mic?
Let me make sure my sound is up. Okay, turn up my volume. Is that better?
Yes. Yes, thank you. That's a lot better.
Yes.
So we wonder how come we have all of this violence now. You know, all of this, some of our children, not all of them, but some of them are very violent, not just children.
Yes. No.
The human beings, period, have become very violent toward each other.
So that
you
lets
know,
us
the
know.
Human family, not everyone.
Yes.
But too many.
Yeah. But you said something that I think really sheds light. And I hope that if we grasp this, maybe we can move to a point of compassion rather than anger at the whites who were a part of the enslavement period, those who were cruel in their beatings and torturing. They were basically giving what they had received, what had come down through them in their culture, the meanness, the verbal and physical abuse. So when someone has low self-esteem, they seek to make themselves feel better by making other people feel bad. That's what a bully is, somebody who has been bullied, somebody who has been mistreated, and they have powerless. So they seek to feel more powerful by then bullying someone who they perceive as weaker than them. So we basically became the scapegoats, the people that could be abused by those who had been abused, those who were coming out of a culture of abuse where children are being beaten and adults are being publicly humiliated, all the things that you described. So can you imagine the mindset of people who have been raised like that in a culture like that? So this is why there was such meanness, such cruelty, such a deliberate attempt to make a group of people be helpless in being able to fight back. This is why it was actually a part of the American culture that was widely accepted and even ordained by the government to have a group of people that could be used as basically those who would receive all of the mean treatment that they had received and couldn't fight back. So it was the cruelty that they brought with them from Europe and inflicted on the Africans that they took away from their homeland. You know, you can't run anywhere because you've been taken to some place you don't know how to escape, and then all the laws, all the structures of government are in favor of you being these people that we can abuse. And so this is the emotional legacy of America. And if we can understand that this is their mindset, then we can throw off the pain that we're still carrying, a belief system that there's something wrong with us because we're being treated badly. There's nothing wrong with you because someone treats you badly. They're showing you how they were treated. And that's all that is. And if we can ever grasp that, then we can forgive. Because when we can forgive, then we can release ourselves from the pain we're still holding about that. Definitely when we understand where racism comes from, it has nothing to do with us at all. It has to do with what's inside of them. Then we can have compassion for them. And we can heal ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to chew on that thought for a minute, because there's a lot of people that are reparations, this, that, and that. I understand all that. But first of all, the people that you want to repair the damage aren't the ones who did the damage. They may be benefiting from it in some economic way, some of them, very few, not a whole lot of them. But the healing that has to happen has to come when we stop believing that punishment is the way you handle someone whose behavior you don't like when they are a child. That's the first step, us getting rid of that incorrect belief system. So it's time for our break. And we're going to take a quick break and come back. And if you want to hear from you, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. Were you punished as a child physically? Were you verbally punished in terms of being insulted if you did something your parents didn't like? How did that make you feel? Let's talk about that when we come back. And later on, we'll be joined by our guest, LaTanya Hilson. Looking forward to hearing from you. Call us 515-605-9891 or 515-605-9325. Press 1 so we know that you have something to say. And you can join us live on the female www.facebook.com/The Female Solution. I'm Nine with Heath, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family, joining us today to talk about, does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? So we will return after these brief messages. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony and the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're joined with our American Muslim 360 family and our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we've been talking about punishment. Does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? Well, we'll be soon releasing a new book entitled Spare the Rod, Love the Child, with a whole different philosophy on child rearing based on the reality that a soul comes through us to learn and create. And we as parents have the job of guiding them in that process. Because of our incorrect belief systems, we crush the spirit in the child and we damage the spirit in the child by giving them the same hostility that was given to us. And it's time for us to stop. It's time for us to take a look at our spiritual beliefs and how they have been misshapen by our own misunderstanding. Every spiritual master that has come to us and taught us always taught about love. But we, in our misunderstanding, would take what they taught and twist it into our own negative beliefs about ourselves and others. And then we project that onto the creator of the universe as if we can make God in our image, our negative image of cruelty and meanness, when the creator of the universe is only love. It's hard for us to realize that because we feel that people should receive pain.
Naima?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a misreading of scripture. A lot of our problems come from our perception of God and religious life. You know, we have heard, spare the rod, spoil the child. That is from out of scripture. You know, that is from out of scripture. But given the right perception, there is another part in religious language from the Bible. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You hear that?
Right.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But then you hear another reading, spare the rod, spoil the child. We have to think, if the rod is bringing comfort, they comfort me. They have depictions of Jesus. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. They have drawn pictures of him, and there are sheep around him. And he's holding a staff,
yeah,
you know, like a good shepherd, you know. And I've never seen a shepherd take his rod and beat a lamb.
Yes,
or beat the sheep.
Yes.
Yeah, that staff, you nudge them. You gently nudge them, so that they stay in line with where you are carrying them. It's a gentle nudge. That rod is symbolic and the staff. The rod is symbolic of the protection that righteous life is, that following the righteous good life. That's the rod. That's the end. And if you lean toward getting out of that, the good shepherd, he'll nudge you back on the straight way.
Right.
That staff, the staff is what people would support themselves with. They would walk with a staff. It was a foundation. It was a foundation. They would lean upon their staff, their staff. So it's with the proper interpretation and not coming from out of the sick mind that wants to brutalize people, you know, coming with that rod and staff, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's an artificial mind. That's a very sadistic mind. So the rod only means a nudging back into the fold, a nudging back into the fold, because the shepherd is carrying you somewhere, and he has and where he is carrying you is a foundation. It has a foundation up under it. That is that staff that even the leader is dependent on. The leader is dependent on that foundation that supports him and the way of life shown to him. So the right perceptions, inshallah, God willing, will remove us from the idea of you have to beat someone into submission. God says, let there be no compulsion in religion. Now, let me make a few short statements on that. We are not to compel people. Yeah, I have to, because sometimes we have to look at things from a different perspective. We have to be thinkers. We have to think below the surface of things.
Beat their children for not going to church or going to the mass or going to the temple or the mosque. They felt like, you know, I got to beat this devil out of you. And so there has been a lot of compulsion in religion, and people feel like they did the right thing by making their children go and beating them if they didn't. So what do you have to teach us about that?
Right. Well, look. All right. Even adults, we are not to force no one to accept a spiritual walk, a spiritual life. We're not to force no one. You utilize your own thinking and your own free will, that you choose a religion for yourself. There should be no one should be forcing you into a state religion, or either you follow this here, otherwise such and such a thing. No, but there is a compulsion in religion. Let me say that. We cannot compel someone toward religion, but when someone has adopted the faith, there is a compulsion inside of that faith that you are compelled, due to your religious stance, you are compelled to speak out against wrong. There's a compulsion within you now. There's a conscience within you now. There's a moral standard within you that compels you to speak out against wrong, that compels you to promote righteousness and good, sound moral behavior. Something happens inside of us, and we are just compelled to do what we know to be right and to speak out against wrong. But no one should compel someone or compulsion toward religion. But once you're in it, and it enters your soul, it enters your heart, it enters your mind, it enters your behavior, you are compelled. You just can't even stop yourself. I'm
right.
Going to say this. I don't care, you know, for real.
But it comes from your own drive.
Yes,
your
ma'am.
Own drive. And no one
your
making
own soul, your
that.
Own nest.
Yes. And that's really what has to happen when we guide a child like you describe about, you know, nudging the sheep. It's not a force, it's a guidance in order for them to develop the capacity to make right decisions. But that's our job, to help them learn how to make those correct decisions that are for the best interest of themselves and others. So if you're beating someone and you're using fear, well, then that's not giving them the capacity to develop good decisions. They're doing it out of fear. And then once the source of fear is removed, then there's no more reason for obedience to rules and regulations, because it wasn't, it's coming from the inside. It was coming from force on the outside. I mean, how many of us have had friends that were, you know, nice and well-behaved all through school and high school, and then they went away to college and just went buck wild, just, you know, drank, smoked, got high, you know, just all kind of sex, everything. And they had been these well-behaved children with strict parents, but as soon as they got away from the source of fear, they went wild because the discipline wasn't inside of them. They were only acting as a result of their fear of punishment. So they didn't learn the reason for the behavior that conformed to the rules of safe treatment for yourself and others. They didn't learn the reasons why. They just did it out of fear of punishment. And that's not a way to teach, because when you teach something, then the person learns it. That means they know it on the inside. That means they are self-directed, self-motivated. And they...
That's what we want.
They choose for themselves to do what's right because they understand. It's understanding as opposed to fearing pain if you don't do it. And this is how we have to change the way we raise our children. This is how we have to change how we function in the society. When we are constantly using punishment, then people only seek to avoid punishment. They don't seek to do what's right because they want to do what's right. They only do what will avoid punishment, which means they might do wrong, they just figure out a way to get away with it, which still isn't teaching them right behavior. One of the things that happens, and the reason why our prison system is so astronomically large and we still have some of the worst crime in the world, is because it has become profitable to punish people. And the incentive is not to help them fix whatever caused them to make bad judgment. So when they get out of the confinement, they go back and do even worse wrong. So the society never gets better. The other people are never safe. And even now, you know, you can have, you know, those who have perhaps committed crimes of sexual assault. Well, you can get a list of where they live and all of that. But my question is, well, why wasn't whatever was broken inside of them repaired during the time they were in prison? It's not helpful if they're coming out still broken. You know, just me knowing where they live, that still doesn't make me safe. It just makes me living in a state of fear of them and them still having whatever was misshapen inside of them that caused them to inflict suffering and pain on others. So punishment doesn't help anybody if it doesn't fix the person who has done something wrong. It just creates a society of fearful people. So we've got some right. callers on the line, and I want to pause for any that are sure. on your switchboard. Have you been punished?
Yeah, I see time? One here.
You've got a caller on the line?
Yes, we sure do.
Oh, well,
I'm
going to
open
it.
Up their mic. Okay. Error code 724866. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Yes,
724-8. Wow, look at my
slide. Give us your name. Where you're calling?
Sister Gail Muhammad from Sharon, Pennsylvania. Good to hear you, too. And actually, you took what I was going to say about fear the rod, spoil the child. But we can see from that in people's religious understanding, it permeates all through society, to all the things that you have just said. And I was thinking, even in the criminal justice system, they call it Department of Corrections, but there's nothing, not enough, I should say, because I guess some places do it, not enough things put in to correct the behavior, like Naima was saying, so when they get out, it becomes part of their, you know, part of their behaviors that they change. And it's just, it's still, they changed the name to the Department of Corrections, but the corrections part still has to be worked on because they're actually just jailing people, mm-hmm. like it used to be called, just keeping them confined in a space until they serve out their time or pass away or anything, but they constantly come back out and they haven't learned enough to correct their behavior. And even through the educational system, we see this fear the rod spoil the child because a lot of the religious schools came out of you and had that understanding where you would beat them and everything. I have friends that went to Catholic school, and they talked about
it too. I can bear witness.
The cruelty of the nuns and things like that. And then that as public school evolved, and like you were saying before, you had the wooden paddles. That they
with
used
the
to be children with. And then I know, I remember by the time we got to junior high school, the person that was in charge of the handing out the discipline of using the paddle, he actually then put holes in the paddle to make it speed through the air. To give you all, give some, and unfortunately, it was a lot of the, when I look back in our community, the African-American males that ended up getting that punishment, again, you know, coming down through this understanding that, you know, and there was very few African-Americans in our, my community I grew up in, teachers or people in the educational system that could maybe you know, make a difference where different forms of discipline were handed out. And I think, too, a lot of it was for expediency because even our parents, you know, they didn't have the time then to sit down and allow you and talk to you and rationalize with you. You had to listen quickly. You know, they didn't have the time because their jobs, the stress of their jobs, the stress, it was all a time, you know, especially a lot of, I know in our family, we had a family of, well, my mom actually had 11 children, but 10 of us that lived. It was a lot of times she had a discipline, but then a lot of times wait till your father gets home. And then, you know, when that discipline came, yeah, it worked to a certain degree, but then you were always, you know, it made you more fearful of your father, you know, because he was going to give that hardcore discipline. Mom might tell you to go over there and sit on the couch or, you know, the more, I guess, female-oriented type of discipline. But, you know, when Dad came home, if you didn't correct some of that behavior when he came home, you were getting that spanking with the belt.
So let me ask you this question. You had a problem and you wanted to talk to one of your parents. Did you feel that you could, you know, say if you made a mistake, you know, any kind of thing that, that you know they didn't like, but you it, but you needed to talk to somebody, do you feel that you could have talked to either of them, you know, and they would listen to you? Or was there a fear of, well, if I tell them I did this thing, you know, I'd get punished, like you accidentally broke something that was valuable or maybe got in trouble in school about something or maybe experimented with drugs, whatever, but there was a problem, but you wanted to talk to them about it. Do you feel you could have done that?
At a different time, but that particular time, probably no. Talking wasn't a strategy. Maybe later on, you know, when you're sitting around. But at the moment, that was the physical discipline was the, you know, the order of the day. Because I know I'm like kind of the third oldest. And I was, my oldest brother, the male was the oldest. So I think he got it really hard because it was expected for them. Like it was almost an understanding then. If you get the first ones right, the other ones will fall in the line. So there was a lot of like modeling, and yeah. I was one to learn from other people. You know, I didn't want to get what my brother was getting, so I always tried to do good. To the point where a lot of the younger ones under me, my one brother, I had a brother under me, ahead of me and under me, and he would always say, oh, you're such a do-gooder, because the males got it harder. They were, I don't know if they were subconsciously trying to get them in order quickly because of what they were going to face out in the broader society. But in our family, there was five boys and five girls, six girls and five boys. I think the boys got it harder because they wanted them to, you know, I don't know, prepare them for what they were going to face. I don't really know what the psychology, but it seemed like that was in a lot of the families because, you know, back then there wasn't birth control and this and that. So many people had large families, and that was like the form of discipline that everybody did in it. And I'm sure it had developed out of the experience from, you know, slavery and just people's religious understanding too, you know, because if you have that in your educational system where you're going to be educated, and this is the way handed out discipline. So over time, now we're at the point where we can look back and see how cool all that was, and we can make, you know, we have the time now to sit down and allow our children to express their feelings or talk to them, rationalize it out. But I think when we were growing up, parents didn't have that kind of time.
Well, they didn't know they
did. And that's,
And that, because time is just time.
It was seen but not heard.
We want to spend the time.
Right.
And parents
didn't know. We listen to all those things that are, those that are up are in our 60s and our 70s. When we look back, we can all those little cliches, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Like Brother Kareem just said, children are not to be hurt, and children did not sit in the presence of adults. You weren't part of the conversation. You had to go off somewhere when adults were talking.
Right, to leave the room.
You know what I mean. Right. So I think all that we are today, I'm also an educator, and with my own children, I was not that kind of disciplinarian. I hate to be hit, and I hate to hit. So, you know, I allow for the talking and sitting around rationalizing with them about their discipline, and also trying to give more positive affirmations to them, like when they would leave, you know, do the intelligent thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we were given the negative, you better not get no trouble when you go
right.
out there, you know what I mean? So,
right.
But I think as we evolved as a society and in our family life, now that we have more time, our discipline has changed. And then we also look back at the public school system. Sometimes, then we went to the other extreme and gave the children too much, where we didn't set up disciplines and parameters for them to function and what you were expecting of them, you know, knowing that you can go out and you can socialize, but there's a way to socialize. There's a way to dance. There's a way to do everything, you know, in a more respectful way and to keep yourself out of confusion. So it's, you know, this discipline thing is very, very important because, you know, I know I'm thankful to the disciplines that we have built into El Islam, you know, with first and foremost with our prayers. You know, that creates a discipline that we, you know, that just permeates all through our life. And then you know, as we set up our educational systems and things like that, that I think we're going to see a different mindset and a different way to handle things.
Well, you know, it's
interesting. That's a big blessing.
It's interesting. So many people who remember a childhood where parents didn't really listen to them have chosen to change that in the raising of their own children, knowing what it felt like not to be listened to and to have parents hit first. And then maybe later on they might hear what you have to say, but first their thought is, we're going to correct you instead of the logic that you used to do whatever you did, and being able to see things from your point of view and then being able to talk to you and explain to you why whatever decision you made was harmful to yourself or others. So knowing what it feels like not to be listened to sometimes sensitizes us to not use that same method when we raise our children. So but before we take the next call, let me ask you this question. Oh, go ahead, Brother Green.
Yes, you know, in the line of authority, it is very, very advantageous to acquaint our children with the higher authority, even the authority that is over us, and accountability to Almighty God, that they have within themselves the sense of accountability, that even if no one sees me, God sees me, and I feel ashamed in his presence for having done such and such a thing. The first gods that we come in contact with as small children and infants is our parents. They are the God with a little G in our lives. But that little G, that little God, it should acquaint the children with a higher authority over themselves, acquaint them with Almighty God. So that is a governing factor if accepted and within our hearts and our souls and our minds, then that will be a governing factor even when our parents are no longer with us. We'll have self-governance, inshallah. So that's authority. Acquaint your children with an authority that's even over yourself. Tell them why you are the way you are and what you respect, and that is Almighty God.
Right.
I'll stop right there.
Yeah. Did I do the second commercial break yet? I did that, didn't I?
No, we have not had a second commercial break. I have someone else on this line, so if you care to, we can go to PSA. If Sister Gail has completed her thought. Sister
okay.
Gail?
And if not, Sister Gail, we'll come right back to you and let you finish your thought, and then we'll take the next caller. And I've got a caller on this switchboard. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we want to hear from you as we ask the question, does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? We're looking forward to the soon-to-be-released book, Spare the Rod, Love the Child. We'll talk about that when we come back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll gladly open your mic and get your thoughts. We've got the line here, and we've got some callers on the American Muslim 360-64, so we appreciate I'll be looking forward to your thoughts as we discuss the topic. Does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? We'll be soon introducing a new book entitled Spare the Rod, Love the Child. And this gives us a different viewpoint
of how to raise children. Everything is either an expression of love or a call to love. And we're here to learn how to love. And sometimes what we experience is not, and not love does not feel good. So when parents say, well, I'm spanking you, but this is going to hurt me more, it's going to hurt you, or I'm doing this because I love you, they may really be telling the truth, but that doesn't mean what they're doing is actually fixing the problem. They're acting out of their lack of understanding. They're acting out of a misshapen belief about what actually shapes the human spirit. Pain does not shape in a healthy manner. It misshapes. And this is why we have this perpetual cycle of violence, because we keep inflicting violence on our children, and they, in turn, inflict it on others. And so until we stop the cycle, we're going to keep seeing it repeat itself, and none of us are benefiting from it. So it's time for us to learn a better way. Fear the rod, love the child. And, you know, it's not just physical punishment, Brother Kareem. It's the emotional abuse that comes from verbal, being told you're stupid, you're ugly, you're lazy, you're bad. You know, all of these negative things that we get told about ourselves do not help us become our best selves. They only cause us pain. So we've got several callers on the line here, and in a minute we'll be bringing on our guests to give us a useful perspective about how we use the systems of punishment and are they really helpful or hurtful. We had Sister Gail on the line.
Sister Gail still with us. There's another caller behind Sister Gail.
Yes.
727-400.
Yes. And then we've got 773-801 and 312-671. But in the meantime, we're going to bring on our guest right after this next caller you take.
Hey. All right, Sister Gail, you still with us?
Yes, I am. I'm
yes,
enjoying ma'am. the program. But I just wanted to add, I think when you, our parents, my mom, we're blessed to still have her at 94, the discipline, it was their form of love for the time, because you had to be disciplined to go, you know, it was a working, the family, you know, working within the family. So when you go out into society, you didn't know how to behave, and, you know, a lot of that starts within the home. So even though the form of discipline, it was the form of discipline for the time. You know, it wasn't just African-American people
knew.
That were beating their children. Everybody was beating, was using that form of discipline.
The whole country.
Yeah. And that's what I said, even in education, even in church, not in the churches I went to, but they even said, like, the Catholic Church, if you didn't sit right in the pew and all that, you got hit. And so, but as we evolve, but I think it's just we have a change, but because they disciplined us in that form did not mean they did not love us, because they loved us enough to discipline us. And we have evolved as humanity, that we've come to realize that we don't need that form of discipline to operate, I guess, in a society. So I mean, we have to be thankful to Allah, praise to Allah, that we evolved to see that. And I think along with that evolution and understanding, even when we're given a different understanding of how the Creator interacts with His creation, like Brother Kareem was saying, you know, we were thinking that it's a punishment from God. And so that understanding then went into, you know, human behavior. But
there's more rewards than punishment, and I think that's what we're getting to understand, and it will eventually help to correct our society. So it's good that we have a new generation of human beings coming up that see a different form of discipline to have a disciplined society.
Right.
So thank you. Thank you so much.
Something else that Yale points out about our belief that God punishes, when in fact what we have, the universe is set up according to laws of cause and effect. So what you receive is what you have put out. And it isn't God punishing you. It's you creating a condition that then you experience the consequences of, so that you learn what not to do. You learn what doesn't bring the best results for yourself. And so if we can teach our children that same law of cause and effect, if you're mean to someone, then they'll be mean to you. If you're kind to someone, they'll be kind to you. If you share with others, they'll share with you. If we teach our children that basic law of cause and effect, you reap what you sow, then we can teach them in a way that will help them make good choices, as opposed to us inflicting pain on them, because when we inflict pain on them, they inflict pain on someone else. It's like what has happened. But one thing that she says, though, our parents did the best they knew how. And so we have to forgive them. Even those parents that might have been excessive and abusive, we have to be able to forgive them, because, and what is that quote that's often said, that Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People act according to the highest level of their understanding at the time, even when it's bad understanding. So being able to forgive them for not knowing any better helps us, but also we have to learn not to repeat those things that we know we're not correct. And that's where we at right now, forming a society where we don't keep doing those same things that are hurtful. So I know we got a couple of callers on the sweet board here. I want to thank you, Sister Gail, for your insight. And I want to bring on our guest, a young lady, Latonya Hilson, a good-hearted young lady, and was in an unfortunate situation. Of course, she's done some community service to atone for that. But, it just came down to a situation of driving with a friend who had a suspended license. And a suspended license doesn't mean you necessarily did anything. Sometimes they suspend your license because you couldn't pay your traffic tickets or whatever. So that's not necessarily even a sign of intentional wrongdoing, even the system that we have that tells people, well, you can't drive your car until you take care of this situation. But, they got stopped. And so in order to protect her friend, she switched seats with her. Okay, I have a legitimate license. You don't, so that way, you won't get in trouble. Well, it just happened on the dash cam that the police saw them switch. And so, the penalty was, okay, you're going to get arrested and then penalized. And of course, that's very traumatic in itself, being stopped by police. So, I look at it like this was something done with compassion for her friend. It wasn't, I'm a bad person doing wrong. It was, well, I'm going to try to protect you from harm. And I understand the way that our laws are, but I also look at sometimes the things that we get punished for have nothing to do with wrongdoing. It has maybe a lot of time to do with we don't have enough money to pay for something. You don't have enough money to pay your parking ticket. So then they boot your car. And if you don't have enough money to pay for the boot, then they tow your car and put it in storage. And if you don't have enough money to pay for the storage, then they sell your car at auction. And none of it is because you're a bad person. It all has to do with not having money. So is that really just and fair, or is it cruel? Sometimes licenses are suspended because you don't have enough money to pay fines. And then they say, well, you can't drive your car because you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough money to pay for your sticker. Now, are you really endangering anybody? No, but then, if you need your car for work or whatever, and so, you can't drive your car because you couldn't pay or whatever the case may be, And so I look at our system of punishment, and it's just as unjust as the parent who beats a child because, you know, they made a mistake and, you know, threw a rock through a window or some other thing. And you may have told them not to do that, and they didn't realize that they were going to break something. But instead of you helping them understand, you hit them. It's the same kind of punishment that doesn't really help an understanding, and sometimes it also creates further wrongdoing because then the child has that sense of injustice and not really being treated with compassion. So, you know, we wanted to invite LaTanya to come on as a young boy and give us maybe insight on the system of crime and punishment, and are we as adults being just and fair, or are we being cruel and non-helpful? So I want to welcome to our show our dear little sister, LaTanya Hilton. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Female Solution.
Good morning.
Good morning. And thank you for being up so early in the morning.
Good morning.
Yes, so you're on with our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we've got a whole bunch of listeners. And we've been talking about, does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? And what we're seeking to do is change the thinking of adults that often label young people as bad and give them punishment that causes further damage, in my opinion, as opposed to teaching reasons for rules and then helping them to follow the rules for their betterment as opposed to teaching them through fear of punishment. So now let me ask you this question. In your situation, and we appreciate all that you've done in the public service and so forth and hours that you've spent, but in that moment that you and your friend were stopped, what were you feeling in terms of what could happen to her if, you know, the police said, oh, you shouldn't be driving? And, you know, what were you thinking to protect her from?
Well, she already had lost her license. So anything beyond that, they were definitely going to take her in. So I was definitely in fear, but I had to think fast. So I just thought, you know, switching seats would be the better option, you know, at that time. But it ended up, we both ended up getting caught at the time. And it just didn't work out how I thought it would.
So she would have been taken to jail, and that's what you wanted to protect her from, that whole trauma of being handcuffed and thrown in jail and all of that?
Yes. I mean, because she already had something recent brewing up with the court. So if anything else, you know, at the time would have happened, it would have just been, you know, her sitting there. And she already have a daughter, so I was thinking of her too, a young daughter.
Wow. And, you know, that really... You have to put that in perspective. You're trying to protect a mother from being taken away from her child. That makes total sense to me. Even though the law might say, well, that's wrong, she shouldn't have been driving. Well, you know, but I understand the incentive to try to do something to protect her, because would it really have served the public interest for her to be taken away from her child? That is an understanding. So, Brother Kareem, did you want to make a comment about that or ask a question about that?
Well, yes. What got LaTanya in trouble was that the officer had his dash camera on and saw her switch position. That was the evidence. But, you know, there are extenuating circumstances. And this is called the criminal what? Justice system.
Mm-hmm.
So the greater emphasis is put on the criminal side and not on the justice side. This was
right.
an act of compassion from LaTanya to her
yeah.
friend and also her friend's child. I would hope that the criminal justice system would look to her motives of why she switched seats with her friend that was already in trouble. There's a reason why. And if asked that and given the opportunity to express why she did it, I would expect some level of consideration in that case. The justice part is what is usually missing in the criminal justice system, and there are extenuating circumstances. What was her intent, you know, and what spawned that intent? So we have a long way to go in this justice system that we're laboring under.
Absolutely. And I think that's...
LaTanya, have you been able to express that to someone that is in the criminal justice system, what you have shared with us? Have you been able to express that to them, the motive why? And if so, what was their response?
Well, they don't really consider your opinion or what you think or, you know, how you felt at that time. It's all about the law. So you do right by the law, you know, you don't get in trouble, basically. And they had told me, I had a public defender, and they told me that the state's attorney was looking for her, not me, more so, of giving her more time. So me beating around the bush didn't help. So they just told me, you know, just take whatever they give you, you know, the 12-month supervision, and then she'll just have to deal with whatever they give her. Like, I tried to consider her a lot within the case, but they told me, like, we both have separate cases. Don't worry about her, you know. She did what she did. You did what you did. Just worry about what's going to happen on your behalf.
So did they, well, you say they don't really care anything about your feelings. So did the fact that she had a child, you know, if they're thinking about, okay, well, she, you know, if she gets found guilty, she could serve time. I mean, as far as you know, was any of that taken into consideration? This is a mother of a child, a young child. You know, if any of that was taken into consideration?
It might have been, only because I think they only gave her, well, they gave her twice as the supervision of what they gave me. So they didn't we did get locked up for a day or two. Well, she got locked up more because the situation. And when we were behind, you know, when we did go to jail, the officers, they didn't treat us. I got treated like nothing. Like, no, the phone calls and everything. Like, once you go behind those closed doors, they treat you different.
So did she get a chance to call somebody? I mean, whoever was watching her child while she was away, you know, they would be expecting her to come back. This would be like, come back, you know. Did they make provisions for her to let someone know what happened or even, you know, come get her out and all that?
Once they switched shifts, the officers that were there, once they switched shifts, a different officer was able to give her that phone call, but the ones before, they did it.
You know, the lawyer that you are given
public defender?
You know, they yes. Many of them, they don't really put forth the effort. You know, that what they mainly do is they encourage the offender to accept a plea deal.
Right.
You know. Now, there is a plea, if I'm not mistaken, there is a plea that can be rendered, and that is guilty, but with an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleading guilty, but with an explanation, you
mm-hmm.
see. And that being, now, you were guilty, you know, I mean, it's right there on the camera. But with an explanation, see,
right.
It had if it was what was a plea like that, then I believe that would have allowed you at the sentencing at the plea stage to set that up for you to be able to speak. Because yes, I'm guilty, but with an explanation, and share with whoever a judge or whoever is adjudicating that case to hear your explanation. And we would hope that there would be some lenience upon what you've shared with us, you know, in relationship to what was done.
Yes. Well, we've got to take one last break. LaTanya, if you can stay with us, we got some callers on the line. If you got a few more moments, we got some callers on the line. I'm sure they want to, you know, weigh in on this topic and give their opinions. Can you stay with us, LaTanya?
Yes.
All right, great. Well, we'll be right back after this short break. And if you're on our switchboard, 779-801, we're coming to you next. And I think you got a call on your switchboard, Kareem, and then you've got 312-671. We've got and we've got 773-436 on the line. So we're trying to get to everybody after this short break. So stick and stay, don't stray away. We'll be right back after these messages. So stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago. For your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim G67 on the other switchboard. And, of course, we want to hear from you. We've got about 20 more minutes in this last segment, and we've been talking about, does punishing children help or hurt their positive development? Our guest today is Sonia Wilson, a young lady who has an act of compassion found herself in the midst of the criminal justice system. But was it really just, given the extenuating circumstances? Well, let's take a look at that and our beliefs about inflicting pain on people in some form or fashion when they may make an error in judgment. There is a better way to handle things. We're going to take some callers, and we've got some callers on the other switchboard, but we want to go first to area code 77980. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and question or comment.
Greetings. This is Sister Maika. How are you?
Oh, Sister Maika from Timrose. Yes, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I just wanted to comment on your topic. I didn't hear all of the discussion because I was in another discussion. You know, one of the things that I learned as a parliamentarian is that, you know, you have to have a second to your motion. So what happens is when you don't have a second to your motions don't carry. Well, that's the same thing that happens in the family also. That if you don't have a father and a mother, see, the mother may make a motion, but she has to have a second to that. And when there's no second to that in the environment, then the motion dies, which means the children don't pay attention and don't follow through. And then that's where punishment shows up. And that's the other thing that happens in community also. When you have a community around you, that can become a second to your motion also. But we live in these separate compounds or shanty shacks or what, apartments or man caves or whatever you want to call it. And so we don't have seconds to our motion. We don't communicate like that in terms of energy and the weight of energy in relationship to getting something done. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. So you have to have at least two in order to make something, to manifest something. So in our homes now with these single families headed by women, there is no second to their motions. And so their motions die. So they might say today, I don't want you to eat that candy. Tomorrow, Mom, can I have some candy? Yeah, you can have it. You know? And so the children experience this wishy-washy type of authoritarianism. Today I can do it, tomorrow I can't. But when there's a father in the house, the father is like the sun, constant. He ain't changing. The woman is like the moon. He's fluctuating all the time. So children get away with stuff. And then they never learn to respect and understand the need for authority. And that's, I see that as the major problem that leads to all this punishment and what have you of children. But I just want to share that.
Well, I certainly appreciate that thought. I've seen a lot of, as a matter of fact, I had a lot of female friends that felt like they had to be harsher to their children because there was no father, so there was no balance. And especially if they were boys, they felt like, well, I have to punish a lot because, you know, I there's no father there. And that works until your boy becomes 16 years old, taller than you, speaking with a man's voice. You can't fear anymore. And so when all the discipline goes out the window, because you have nothing to work with. The only thing you used when he was younger was fear of punishment, which you can't inflict on him now that he's a grown man, bigger than you, you know? So that's the guy. I definitely understand what you're saying. You got to have that balance in parenting so that you can agree to the rules and you don't have to try to use fear to enforce them. And that's why we have to work together as women, because we gotta collectively mother these children.
Yeah, we can do that. If you have more people in the environment, yeah, you can do that. The other thing that happens is when, say, there's a single family mother in the home and she ain't got no community support or family support, then she gets tired, right? Have you ever gotten angry when you were hungry or tired? Have you ever experienced that? That stimulates anger.
Now,
so over a period of time, you just lash out because you're angry because you ain't got no support.
Yeah.
You're carrying the whole weight.
You're tired,
so,
And that causes reactions as well. And that's usually what it is, a single mother who's tired, overwhelmed, no support.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not going to be able to be patient and soft-spoken. After a while, she's like angry and snapping because she's tired. And that's why we have to have, like,
have communicate. She's not going to take the time to explain, you know, so you can just do what I say, you know. It's like, well, this is what I said, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Everybody
is an independent spirit. Go ahead, girl. Thank you for letting me on.
But thanks so much for your insight, as always. We appreciate you so very much. So let me go to area code 773-436, Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers, Grand Rising. This is Mama D. And thank you for letting me hold, weigh in on this historic day. It's the anniversary of the Kerner Report that talked about the two Americas, one white and one black, separate and unequal. And that has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. What happened to us did not happen to everybody. It happened to us. And that's what makes us different. And it's okay. We should own it because we have come through that. We are still here. We're still struggling with being made whole, but we are still here. I couldn't agree with Maika more because there's nobody to second your emotion. You need someone to second your emotion when you are a single mother and working. So the child, this is one of the reasons why I was a traveling journalist. And I said, hey, I'm divorced now. If I go traveling all around the world, my daughter won't have anybody with her. So I went back and got certified in Montessori education and took temporary jobs so that I could be a parent. Most women today, they don't have that luxury because the personal Responsibility Act, it changed all that. It eliminated aid to families with dependent children and said you had to be working in exchange for a welfare check. And so it made, at the end of the day, I'll just say it this way, women cannot do all the things that men can do and be mothers too. That's what's happening to our children out there. I remember somebody on the Female Solution said that the little child that was thrown out of the village, he burned that village down just to feel the warmth. Our children need to be loved into shape, but our history has been whipping into shape and name calling and that subjugated syndrome. Nobody else says to their children, sit your white self down. They don't say, sit your slanty-eyed self down. But this is the way the slave owner talked to us. The slave master parent talked to us. And this is the way we, too many of us, are still carrying that mentality on to our children because we just have not been made whole. That's why this program here is so important. As I've said it before, the judge in the courtroom said all the problems that exist in the world today is because somebody was not taught how to love. Maybe it was taught, but somebody didn't learn how to love. So I thank you and appreciate this program because at the end of the day, mothers have to take on that responsibility of motherhood because our children not being raised, not being loved, not being paid attention to, look, we can't walk the street or sit in our homes. Mm-hmm. The violence is just off the chain. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I appreciate your perspective.
Mama D.
For calling in, Mama D, because that is
Mama
exactly
D?
What we have created.
Yes.
You are right on point. You are definitely right on point. You know, we set aside time to get your hair done or shopping or whatever. But the most valuable thing that we can share with our children is our time.
Right.
We have to make time for them. And establishing a one-on-one relationship with your child, a one-on-one relationship, sitting talking with them, going out to lunch, whatever. But establish a one-on-one relationship that creates respect. You're respecting the child, and the child is getting to know you. And explain to them what you are faced with and what you are doing. Share that with them. They are intelligent. They will understand. But above all, spend time with your children, even in a especially in a one-on-one relationship, so that they get to know you and you know them. I'll stop right there, my sister. Thank you.
Well, you know what? You know what I see, and I thank you so much, Mama D, for your comments, and also Mike. What I see happen, what our, unfortunately, our community tends to do, we tend to penalize single mothers by making life harder for them. We penalize them for not having money. We penalize them for not having, you know, maybe that male partner that would give that balance for whatever reason. But we penalize the women for doing the best they can. Like Mama D said, you can't do everything and mother. You gotta work, you gotta take care of the home, you gotta take care of the bills, and you gotta take care of your children. And then if you don't have other people in your family to assist, then what happens if you're taken away from your tribe? You know, when I heard Latanya's story, and I'm thinking, did that officer even think, okay, this is a woman who has a child at home. What will happen if she's away for an entire night from that child? And how am I helping that child by taking away the mother? And how traumatized would that child be? What if there was an accident that happened? What if the child got ill? What if, you know, anything could have happened? Was that officer looking at the bigger picture? There's a young person that needs their mother's care. And I'm taking away their mother because of some traffic thing on file? Is that really justice? So, Latanya, what are your thoughts in terms of...
Naima, you are fading out. It's not a your volume level is very low right now.
Let me double check, make sure my volume's up. So, Latanya, what are your thoughts on what could have been a different response of the officer and of the judge in the court case? In your opinion, what do you think would have been a more compassionate response to the situation? Even, and I don't know why your friend's license was suspended, whatever could have happened, but still, you know, there are other lives being affected. In your opinion, what do you think could have been a better, more compassionate way for them to handle that situation?
Well, we see few officers do it, but a warning would have just been, you know, as good as, you know, a slap on the wrist or... just basically, you know, a quick talk, you know, to the both of us, you know, and just letting us go. And as far as the judge,
yeah.
The penalty could have got lessened. I don't think we needed a warrant just for a seat switch. It wasn't nothing like, nothing really harmful with that. I feel like that was a bit too much. Because it actually affected, you know, a job interview because it came up on a background check. So it definitely
it had a snowball effect in a sense. You know, one thing affected something else and something else.
What was the reason that he stopped it for? Was it a traffic violation, or was it a, you know, failed the signal? What was the reason why he stopped her in the first place?
She said that, or he said that she was swerving on his dash cam.
Swerving.
Yeah. He said that she swerved maybe one too many times.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I had an officer do that to me one day. I was on the way to work. And you know how when you're driving, you're trying to hurry up and get someplace, so you keep changing lanes. You try to get in the lane that's going faster. So I changed one lane, and then that one slowed down. So I changed another one, and then that slowed down. So I changed another one, and that one slowed down. And I had an officer do that to me as well. Pull me over and say, well, I saw you swerving. I'm like, no, I'm changing lanes to try to get to work. And I don't remember if he wrote a ticket or whatever because it was so long ago. But it's that same kind of thing. And because I know, even though they will never admit it, I know that officers have a quota of tickets that they need to write in order to, just like if you're in a sales organization, you have a quota of sales you have to make. A lot of times it provides an incentive for them to stop people for things that really don't exist. And that's also part of the criminal injustice system because it creates more problems for people. Now, if I'm trying to get to work, and then you're stopping me because I'm trying to get to work, is that really helping? So this is one of the things that I think we need to think about. You have a caller on your switchboard. I think we got time to maybe take another call or two. Brother Ken, go right ahead.
Yes, I do. Error code 727400. Please state your name, Martha Naila Abdullah. And welcome to the Female Solution.
Thank you so very much. I'll be very quick. Martha Naila Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. And thank you for this presentation of time and what was on the spare rod is for the child. And then the incident with our dear sister there, LaTanya. You know, in the backdrop, one thing, and from what Gail shared too, was there's this subliminal thing. I have to say it, this God image, I remember when my mother, when the pastor would have anniversary back in the day when we were younger, my mother actually got more money from the people she worked for as she was a housekeeper, and she got more money from them. They were overwhelmingly willing to give money to maintain that process of knowing a preacher over the, you know, I see it now, I can explain it, but then we thought, oh, wow, they're being good. But it was the whole idea of keeping people in a certain thinking and with that image, and they dispensed to us, know your place. You know, don't look anybody in the eye, straight in the eyes. Don't just say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and do what you're supposed to do so you can come back home. And so, unfortunately, with LaTanya, we just have to look at those policies and get them corrected. However, whatever noise we need to make, but it definitely comes down to, and like you say, the public defenders and all of that not being that totally invested in the process. So, alhamdulillah, thank you. I don't know what's the outcome now with LaTanya and the young lady and the child. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, but LaTanya has done her hours of public service, and we consider this is part of the public service, just really helping young people understand, okay, that particular thing is not something you want to do because you can't get you in trouble. We understand that. But our goal on this show is really to raise consciousness to a higher level. It's not just obey the law. We have to, as a human family, become more just and compassionate so that the laws we have are actually in line with the higher law. As Brother Kareem talked about, there's a higher authority that we all need to be aware of, and that's where our focus needs to be. So well, we've got to go. I think we had one more caller. Brother Tom, I don't think we'll have time to get to this morning. However, you know, hey, we'll be back again tomorrow. So feel free to join us, and as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, LaTanya, for sharing your story with us. We appreciate you for being the courageous young woman that you are, the compassionate young woman that you are. And we pray that all things go well, and we certainly will vouch for your character to anyone who asks. So we thank you so much. And thank you, Brother Kareem. We appreciate your wisdom, as always. And thanks to all of you who have...
Praise be to God.
And we look forward for you coming on back again tomorrow on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show.
Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV show, listen to our radio show, order our book, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say
9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time.
To our family in China, India, Japan, Arigato,
Optimal Health,
Korea,
Kamsahamnida,
Russia,
Asiba,
Germany,
Danke,
Poland,
Jung
Kujung,
Abdul Shahid,
France.
And it airs from 12 p.m.
Spain.
Eastern Standard Time.
Gracias.
To 1 p.m.
Italy.
Eastern Standard Time.
Gracias.
From 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central
Shukran.
Standard Time. We look
Medasi.
Forward to your presence.
Nigeria.
Alhamdulillah.
Eshe.
Assalamu alaikum.
South Africa. Ngiyabonga.
Peace be unto you.
Senegal.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC.
Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.